Before the homily, I do have a little bit of sad news to relate to you. Many of you who made the Crucio, especially back during the 1980s, probably remember Father Jerome Fry, who was very instrumental in the conversion of literally hundreds of people in South Louisiana. But Father Fry passed away early Saturday morning at the age of 92. So I ask you to please keep the repose of his soul and the members of his community in your prayers. Father Fry's funeral will be on Friday at St. John's Cathedral. There will be a viewing of his body on Wednesday and Thursday at the Community of Jesus Crucified's Chapel in St. Martinville. But for the repose of his soul, let us offer a short prayer. Eternal rest grant unto him, O Lord, and let perpetual light shine upon him, and may he rest in peace. And may his soul and the souls of all the faithful departed, through the mercy of God, rest in peace. Amen. The disciples asked Jesus, Lord, teach us to pray just as John taught his disciples. Not that his followers didn't know how to pray. They were all very pious Jews, obviously. They'd gone to the synagogue. They'd gone to the temple. They probably knew most of the Psalms by heart and were very familiar with the rituals of the Jewish faith. But there was something missing in that prayer, that heart-to-heart connection of just being at one with God. And they saw this in the disciples of John the Baptist. Now, these are people who realized that they were not living the Jewish law to its fullness. They wanted to have a deeper relationship with God and a closer adherence to the Jewish law. They changed their lives around, went into the water in baptism as a sign of their death to their old self, and wanted to live life anew. But then Jesus kind of gives something even deeper than that. In fact, Christ would even change baptism from a simple ritual of conversion to an actual sacrament that changes us from within, the very core of who we are, that we certainly die to a life of sin to live a new life of grace. What the apostles, what the disciples were asking for was for something that was going to be life-changing for them, and they got it. We, like they, see in Jesus himself what it means to pray. In Jesus, at prayer, we learn this. It means, first of all, a complete giving up of ourselves, a surrender, heart, mind, soul, everything, a complete surrender to the Father's will, saying as Jesus did, not as I will, but as you will. And as Jesus says, I come not to do my own will, but the will of the one who sent me. Giving ourselves to God's will, and at the same time for ourselves, willingly receiving what and only what the Father wants us to have. We do this with a firm trust that whatever God will give us is for our own good, and that it's what we need, exactly what we need to work out our salvation and to do so in love. Consider it this way. As parents, when you have children, let's say that you're in the kitchen preparing supper, and you're cutting something with a knife, and the four-year-old comes and says, I want to play with that. What do you say? You say no. Why? Because you give a knife to a four-year-old, what's going to happen? They're going to cut themselves or harm themselves or somebody else with that. It's not a good thing for them to have it. Many times we do the same thing with God. We pray for this or for that, asking God to give us something which may not be for our good at all. And he may say no. That no may not be permanent. It could also be not yet. But let me teach you how to use what I want to give you. And when you're ready for it, then you're going to have it. That's exactly how he works. And we have to trust him that as our Father, he knows exactly what's good for us. And in the time that's necessary, he will give it to us. The prayer of a faithful Christian consists not only in saying to the Lord, help me with this or help me with that, or I need this or I need that, which is perfectly fine. But again, it's trusting that he will give us what we need. The most important thing is that in our prayer, we dispose, freely give our hearts, our desires, first of all, simply to be holy. That God will answer, to help us to be holy and blameless in his sight, to become more and more like Christ in how we think, how we live, how we act, to be transformed into his own image. Desire to be holy, desire to do the Father's will. Jesus calls all of us as his disciples to bring into our own prayer a concern for cooperating with God's divine plan, knowing that God has a plan for the good of all and our salvation, and we want to cooperate with that. Then we see something else with Jesus. He prays for others constantly. And for us to do the same, to intercede for one another, to pray for one another, leads us to pray precisely as Christ did and precisely as Christ continues to do. As St. Paul says, Jesus is the intercessor between God and man, pleading on our behalf before the Father. He, St. Paul says, is able for all time to save those who draw near to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for us. He always makes intercession for us. In turn, he sends us the Holy Spirit as our guide to this great act of love. Christ intercedes for us, and in union with Christ, we intercede for one another. Since Abraham, as we heard in the first reading, intercession, that is, asking on behalf of another person, has always been a great sign of a heart that is attuned to God's mercy. We expect God's mercy for ourselves. We need it, desire it, ask for it. We should in turn be asking God's mercy and extending that same mercy toward one another. We see that in Jesus, especially on the cross when he prays, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. In this day and age, our intercessory prayer is a participation in that, in Christ's act of intercession. It's also an expression of the communion of saints. We think about the fact, as I said, that Jesus intercedes for us at the throne of the Father, who's with him, all the saints in glory, who, like us, once lived in this world, but now, gone from this world and in the presence of God, likewise pray with and for us. That's the whole idea of asking the intercession of the saints, that they're there seeing Christ face to face. We're still here on earth, but as long as we can still have that state of grace and unite our prayers with theirs, it becomes something powerful. Let's imagine that for a second. Our prayer, in union with the prayer of every Christian, every Catholic throughout the world, not only here, but also in the hereafter, interceding before God for those who are away from him, who need him the most, asking for the forgiveness of our sins and that of the world can know grace and peace. When we do that, when we intercede for one another, we're not looking out only for our own personal selfish interests, but rather what benefits the whole of everyone. Yes, we can and should pray for ourselves, but we must pray for one another. Be united in that solidarity of heart and mind in prayer before the Father. We should pray for everyone, even to the point of praying for those who wish to do us harm. Why? Because that's exactly what Christ himself did. Who should we pray for? The obvious. Pray for your spouses. Pray for your family, your relatives, your friends, your benefactors. But also praying for our enemies. We pray for those whom we've hurt. We pray for those who have hurt us. We pray for the weak, the vulnerable, the innocent. We pray for the helpless. We pray for the sick. We pray for the dying. We pray for the dead who are in need of our prayers. We pray for the conversion of sinners. We must pray for the conversion of unbelievers as well. And we do all this along with our own prayers of praise and thanksgiving to God for the blessings that he has bestowed upon us. When should we pray? St. Paul says, at all times. Every minute, every hour, every day, we're always in God's presence. His presence is in us. And to be aware of that and be consciously thinking what we're doing and offer prayer at all times. In our personal prayer, at home, with the family, our rosaries, our holy hours, our other devotions, praying at Mass, which is the highest form of prayer that Christ has given us as we offer to the Father the very sacrifice that he offered for our salvation, offering our hearts and our minds, ourselves, in union with Christ. The early Christians practiced this form of prayer intensely. It all begins with Jesus in the Last Supper, when he celebrated the very first Mass, about to offer himself in sacrifice. Jesus prays for the apostles, and he prays for those who are going to hear the gospel through the apostles. In a word, he's praying for all of us, from that time to this time, until the very end, until his return. Jesus prays for them, he prays for us. The apostles, in turn, will pray for those to whom they're going to preach the gospel. They also pray for their persecutors. The early Christians, praying for one another, praying for the apostles, praying for those who preached the faith, praying for those who heard and accepted the faith, and also prayed for those who would reject the faith. They prayed for everyone. They prayed for their rulers. They prayed for those in high positions. They prayed for their own persecutors. They prayed for those who would reject the gospel. And that was true then. Then how much more should that be true today? We live in a world which, compared to Sodom and Gomorrah, makes Sodom and Gomorrah look pretty innocent, to be quite honest. We live in a world that does not love God, that hates the message of Christ. What do? We can watch the news, we can see things happening, and we talk a lot. We complain a lot. Now, I know, being good people from South Louisiana, we love to talk all the time, and it's fine. But sometimes we talk to the wrong people. We have a problem, we talk to everybody else about it except God. We have gripes and complaints about the president, about the government, about things that we see around us, about relatives, friends, problems, this, that, and the other. We talk to all those who can do nothing whatsoever, and never to God. Whatever difficulties we may have, whatever problems we may have to endure, whatever we see that's wrong with the world or wrong with other people, the one that you want to take it to is Christ. He's the only one that can do anything about it. So rather than keeping our words horizontal, just amongst one another, to make everything vertical, up to the Father. Every thought, every action, every prayer, every difficulty, everything. Give it all to Christ, as he makes intercession for us with the saints at the throne of the Father. We pray for ourselves, our own conversion. We pray for our sanctification. We pray for the conversion and the sanctification of the world. Like Abraham, to ask God's mercy. Along with the great prayer that Jesus himself taught us, the Lord's Prayer, which kind of brings together everything that I talked about, there's also a prayer that we use at the end of every decade of the Rosary that also kind of brings the same thing to mind. And we say, O my Jesus, forgive us our sins and save us from the fires of hell. Lead all souls to heaven, especially those in most need of thy mercy. Let's ask the Lord not only to teach us how to pray, but to sustain us in prayer. May we continue to pray for one another, for our needs. As St. Paul says, the prayer of the righteous before God is powerful indeed. May the world come to know the mercy of God as we offer up our prayer for the salvation of the world and the grace of the Holy Spirit's guidance.